Again, I am at Magoo's on the Mound. This is the baseball show, and it's my show because I did it as a favor to Joe Randa because not only is he a major league player, but he's the son of Donna Alexa, who started the Donna Alexa Art Centers, and she's one of the finest human beings in the history of humanity, given what she did, offering healing-centered art programs for veterans, elders, caregivers, and individuals with chronic mental illness or Alzheimer's. As an artist, she thought, there are people who have that in them, and whatever their current mental situation, life situation, they need to be given the opportunity to take advantage of their art interest. I don't know anybody ever done this before, and the Donna Alexa Art Centers, and you need to know more about them, because they have money, but they could use more money. It's not like they have a lot of rich people that are helping them. And that's how you raise as much money as possible for their incredible organization. So since Joe Rand is behind all this, he said, you got to talk to Doug Henry. And I said, fine, I know Doug Henry. I didn't know I was with him the first time I met him at your golf tournament. Joining us now is Doug Henry. Doug, good afternoon on the Joe Rand baseball show with Homer.
How's it going, Homer?
I can barely hear you. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
No, go ahead. I've got to figure out how to... I can hear you now, yes.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing fine now that I know who you are. You are, in fact, Richard Douglas Henry. Doug isn't even your first name, right?
That's very true. That's very true.
You could have been a Richard or a Dick. You could have pitched in the majors as Dick Henry.
Yeah,
have you ever thought of that?
I've never been called Richard. No, I've never been called Richard Henry before. My old man was a Richard, and they didn't want two of us running around the house. And I don't know why they gave me the first name Richard, but they did. And then they called me Doug.
Played on four division winners, so you know the playoffs.
What? Yeah, but we were out in the first round every time.
Well, you still know the playoffs. You didn't do as well as you would have liked. What do you pass along to all of us who can only think about it? Is it different? What's it like? What did you learn? You're one of our division playoff experts.
I tell you what, it is so fun as a player. The hype, just all the media, the fans, the way the fans get into it is unbelievable. And it puts you at a different level. It is a lot of fun to be in the playoffs and be in the hunt. It really is.
By the way, your ERA was 1.59 in the playoffs. I'm sure you're well aware of that, right?
I was not aware of that. I knew I had decent success in the playoffs, but I didn't know what
the
ERA was.
You had a problem, though. Do you want to know what your problem was?
We didn't win.
No, too many walks. You had 9 walks in 11 and one-third innings. That's not the Doug Henry I remember.
Well, no, yeah, it is. Yeah, I had trouble with walks, and I had trouble with home runs in my time.
Oh, I didn't do good enough. Didn't do good enough research. I'm sorry.
Well, the home runs didn't happen in the playoffs. I got lucky there, but the walks, that was part of my problem right there. Was I nibbled around a little too much.
Well, but, I mean, this is some of the pitchers. You nibbled around because you had to, right? I mean, it's not like, right? I mean, the reality is who you're going against. There was an intellectual, smart concept of nibbling, right? Didn't just...
It was, you know, for me, it was kind of fun because I was blessed to be able to be in the games when it mattered. And
yes.
You're right. You don't go up there and you don't throw the ball down the middle of the plate. And if they don't bite at it, then you end up putting guys on. And luckily, I was good enough to get people out afterwards.
Yes, we know how good you are. Magoo's on the mound here as a watch party going on. Surfside is behind everything, and so they've got all kinds of free stuff for you. And talking with Doug Henry, because he's good friends with Joe Randa, and Joe Randa's in charge of everything with this baseball show because I'll do anything to talk about him because of his incredible mom, Donna Alexa. And I'll state it again. I don't care if Joe Randa hit more home runs than Barry Bonds. His mom is still more special for the Donna Alexa Art Center. She's trying to change the world for years in a manner no one else even considered. All right, you live in the area, so you know this team's talk as long as you want. They say I interrupt. I won't interrupt. You can now talk as long as you want about this team and your thought about them as they go for the sweep today. Take it away, Doug. Richard Dick Douglas Henry.
Okay, see, now you're putting way too much pressure on me because I actually coach with the Angels and in the minor leagues, and I don't watch big league game much. Now, one thing I will say is being back home after our season was over, it is unbelievable how excited the fans are around here. And I've actually been paying attention a little bit, watching this team go. And I was talking with, because they beat up on our Angels at the end of the season, and I was talking with the bullpen coach, Eddie Guidardo, for us. And he was telling me that this is one of the best teams in baseball. He goes, they play the game right.
All right, explain it. What does that mean? Everybody else plays it wrong? What?
Well, no, they are playing kind of old school baseball. They bunt, they run, they hit. They do the fundamentals more than other teams do, and they do them good. Eddie Guidardo gave you guys a lot, or gave the fans here and the team a lot of credit. I was impressed. And since he told me that one, I've been paying attention. And it's true. It's a fun team to watch. It really is. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of this. Everybody I've heard said that this is one of the best teams that's been around in a while, and they're showing it. They're good.
What about as far as when you said the fans? I know the fans were great when you were playing for the Brewers, but you even mentioned something about them now. They're more – I mean, it's easy to see how everybody loves this team. Just kind of the way they play, and winning solves everything. I don't care if you play the wrong way. If you have the best record in baseball, people are going to like you because chicks dig long balls or whatever they said before they invented the new way to play, the old way. Right.
It's true. No, it's what's fun for me is I got home after my season was over, and I pulled into my driveway after a 32-hour drive from Washington. And my neighbor comes up to me, and he just goes, how exciting is this team? This is one of the more fun teams I've ever seen in my life. And he wasn't alone. It's like everywhere I go, the buzz is about the Brewers. And what it reminds me of is when I coached with the Kansas City Royals when we were winning in 14 and 15, the fans around town, that was the buzz. It was everywhere you went, people were talking about their hometown. And that's what's going on here, and it's making me a believer. It's kind of fun to watch. I'm having as much fun watching the people around me as I am watching the team.
The stolen bases, the importance of defense. I assume that this is a style that may have other teams doing it, given the change in the bases. And I mean, they wanted to have more teams play old school baseball, I assume, or give them alternatives as to you could score a lot of runs some way other than hitting home runs.
I think giving the alternatives is the key because it has changed. It's changed the game. It was boring 4 or 5 years ago as everybody just went up and tried to hit home runs and pitchers just tried to throw 100 miles an hour and it didn't matter. Now, with the strike zone the way it is, pitchers have
and
to throw
defenses,
strikes.
Limiting the defenses so that it is easier to get a base hit. Yep.
Right, and the game's exciting now. It is fun to watch. It really is. And, I mean, for, like I said, 5 or 6 years ago, it was getting boring. And now it is fun to watch. And this team here is pretty much what the league wanted when they changed all these rules. It's exciting. It really is.
So you've been coaching, so you've observed all of this. Give us, because as a player, you may not make the Hall of Fame, but your suitcase could. You were on six different teams in 10 years. Are you a clubhouse problem? What's the deal there, Doug?
Yeah, that's me. I'm a bad influence in the clubhouse. I was just good enough to help a team at the end of the game, but not good enough to be a superstar. And I had a lot of fun. I was blessed to play as long as I did, and I played on some good teams, and watching how this team, I mean, in the media, watching them go fishing, watching them just go to the Packer game together. It just reminds me of the teams I was on that won. It's a good camaraderie, and they got a good thing going here. It could be fun for a few years.
Who creates that camaraderie? Is it who the leaders are on the team, or is it certain individuals? Because you're just alluding to, talking with Doug Henry, that it isn't everywhere on every team you're on. What made it happen on the ones that had it that you observed before this year's team as you're watching?
You know, one, winning. Winning helps. But two, you just have the clubhouse. It's pretty much you've got mainly good guys in there that are friends. And when you're playing for the guy next to you rather than playing for yourself, it leads to what they've got going here. I mean, I guarantee when you talk to these guys on this team that they're looking over their shoulder going, this guy here, I'm here to help him, and he's here to help me. And that's the attitude you have to have when you're playing, I mean, to be in a championship team. Because when you get into this time of year.
Yeah, isn't that the way it is with every team? I guess not.
No, it's not. I mean, you get into – there are teams where you have a bunch of guys that are just in it for themselves. And it's – I mean, it's hard when you're not playing for the guy next to you. And you know, right. You know, that guy's he's just not cheering for you. And it's not fun when you're playing on a team like that. I've been on teams like that too. And that's not fun.
Talking with Doug Henry. Yeah, you've been on a lot of teams. I'm trying to think – because this is all Jerry Augustine, me attempting to tell the world, as I told you at the golf tournament, 755, he was the winning pitcher in the game in which Hank Aaron hit home run number 755. Do you have a 755 in your career? I think you might be 8, because I don't think you knew this until I told you. You were 8 in the voting for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, you told me that one. I just kind of had to laugh. I knew I had a vote. I had one vote.
Do you know who voted for you?
It was probably you.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know you were Doug Henry. Sitting at a table, somebody says, that's Doug. I says, wow, Doug Henry's here too. No, Homer, that is Doug Henry. Oh, okay.
No, as far as who voted for him, I have no idea. I have no idea. I know it was... you know, that year was special. That was when I first got called up, and it was a lot of fun. It was, I mean, the team, if we'd have had more time, I think we might have overtaken the Blue Jays that year.
Oh, yeah, that's the time. That's the one I blame Bud Selig about, because he could have picked up David Cohn.
Yep.
And didn't. It was, yeah, and it's like he knew the game was going to change and the Brewers would never have enough money to compete. That was the last year, and he did nothing, and I still complain. It's been a few years, and
I didn't know any better at the time. I just knew we were out there, and we had a good club that year. And it was just a bunch of, you know, other than Molitor and Yount, we had a bunch of no name guys, and they all played. I mean, we all played good. It was fun. And good story for you here, though. So Treblehorn was our manager.
Yes.
And this summer, I was coaching in Tri-Cities, Washington. And Treblehorn was the first manager in Tri-Cities when they opened up their stadium. And they brought him back to throw out the first pitch. And I got to catch the first pitch for him at our game. And I hadn't seen Trev in probably 20 years. And he came out. They flew him in and threw out the first pitch. It was pretty cool. It was good to see him.
That is he was a good manager. Not anything as good as a story that you would have about Robin Yount or Paul Molitor. I mean, you're just a kid. You're walking in, and what? I don't know what it's like when – I mean, they are stars, right?
That was my first actual – I don't know what you call it, but when I was walking in New York City with I went out to dinner with them one night. And we walk out of the hotel. That was my first experience with a superstar.
Wait a minute.
Public.
Why are they going out to dinner with you? I mean,
that's a good because I was a rookie.
It just
and they
happens
were
every now and then. Oh, they were helping the rookie out. Okay, all right.
Yeah. So we had there were probably about 8 of us going out to dinner, and when we walked out of the hotel, I watched and saw the mob come around Molitor and Yount, just trying to get autographs, and I felt I felt so sorry for him because they couldn't move. And, you know, it's like, okay, that's the price of stardom right there. And that was my first experience with it. And those guys were, they were phenomenal. They were so fun to be around. They were awesome. And one thing with Mahler, I'll never forget, when that season ended in 91, I got a save to end the season, and Mahler got the ball at first base, finished, got the last out of the game, and he walked up to me, and he just goes, "Kid, that was so fun to watch you pitch the last half of this season." And to have a Hall of Famer say that to me, I was like, that one just kind of stuck in my mind forever.
No kidding!
It was pretty cool, yeah.
So you're a rookie, so just watching them, you're watching them batting practice or whatever, what? You know, different people have said to me, baseball players could always notice that Paul Molitor's swing took less time than other players. Like, he could wait a fraction of a second longer. Somebody actually compared, I think, to Joe DiMaggio once. And that was, among all his other skills, it was noticeable to players. Is that made up or true?
No, it's very true. Speaking of, on that note right there, the next year when I went to spring training in 92, I went just as a rookie. I'm still kind of a rookie. I've only got half a year in the big leagues, and I watched BP from behind the batting cage. The pitchers were done for the day, and I just didn't feel like leaving the field. And I watched Mahler and Yount take extra BP, and I just watched how long they waited for a ball to get. I mean, they waited for it to get on top of home plate when other guys are trying to hit it out in front. And their hands worked so much faster than anybody I'd ever seen in my life. It was amazing, just like you're talking about. Their hands were so quick. I mean, there's no doubt why they're in the Hall of Fame. They're just better. They had more skills than 90% of the guys in the game.
Talking with Doug Henry. Again, Homer with you, the Homer Baseball Show, set up totally by Joe Randa. Whoever he said I was going to talk to, I did. It's not like I was punished or anything. Jason Kendall, and we had 7:55, and Joe Randa will be on a bit. I'm at Magoo's on the Mound. It's all brought to you by Surfside. Come by here. They're going to have the Game 3 watch party, and then because Surfside's sponsoring it, you know, you get a lot of free stuff. Surfside made with real vodka and real brewed tea. I said to you, you should write a book and say nothing about baseball. Your personal life is amazing. I don't understand why you're still coaching. You played 10 years. Your pension has to be $100,000 a year, right?
I get somewhere around there.
Yeah, but what, you still want to coach? What?
I have fun coaching. I really do.
All right.
You know, it's not about me, and that's the hardest part about being a coach, because I'm away from home just like I was when I was a player. I leave in February and I don't get back until the middle of September. And, you know, my family comes to visit me or I don't see them. But I enjoy watching kids get to the big leagues, you know, and it's kind of strange because I'm looking at the guys on these teams right now and the only one I've ever been a part of is Blake Perkins when he was with the Royals to begin his career.
Yeah.
He's the only one on these teams, but usually there's three or four guys around that I've been a part of, and it's I really enjoy watching the kids get to the big leagues.
All right,
really
here's the big question: they say kids are different. Yeah, you know, what do you have to? Are they or aren't they? You're doing this every year, and you can make a judgment on how it's the same when you played versus now, or it's not the same. You've lived it versus other people that think they know but probably don't, like me.
No, these kids are different. It's like society. The kids in society are different. Our kids are different too. They grow up playing a different game than we played when we were kids. We just played games when we were going growing up.
Yes.
These kids are all on their special teams. For me, youth sports today is hard because it's all specialized. Rather than just going out and playing whatever sport's in season right now, these kids all play one sport. Pitchers are pitcher onlys, and it's tough. It's a different world. They've all got their gurus that are teaching them what they need to be doing or what they think needs to be done. And when we get them, we got to break bad habits, or we got to deal with it in the wintertime. They go home to their gurus and they come back, and we got to deal with it again. It's a different coaching world, but it's challenging, and for the most part, the kids are still, you know, they're good kids. and that part's the same, but the game is just a little different than it was when we were growing up. I kind of like the old school, but you know, if you don't make an adjustment in today's world, you don't get by.
Talking with Doug Henry. One, are the guns different? I mean, not guns, but because I refuse to believe the pitchers are throwing it that much harder than, let's say, you could throw it. Or maybe they are. And two, does every pitcher now have Tommy John to where teams like a pitcher after they've had it because they know everyone's eventually going to have it? Your job is to say, Homer, those are both accurate, or you're making that up.
Homer, those are both accurate. It's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine from Arizona State, a pitcher when we were together there. He's now one of the head scouts of the Yankees. And he said back in our day, meaning me and him, the guns read the ball at home plate. And now the guns are reading that ball out of the hand. And whether that makes a 5 to 6 mile an hour difference, I don't know. But it's hard for me to believe that everybody throws 100 nowadays. But they throw hard. These kids are they're in much better shape than we were. And we were in much better shape than the generation before me. I mean, and I think that leads to the Tommy Johns, because our bodies aren't made to do what we do. And if they are stronger and throwing harder, then it is that would lead to the arm troubles that we have. And yes, there are a lot more Tommy Johns, but they also have kind of perfected the operation. And there's a lot more guys bouncing back from it, you know, and pitching with it. You know, whereas when I played, there might be one or two guys that had Tommy John in my minor league career. I was in the minor leagues for 6 years. We might have had one or two guys that did it and came back. Now I look out on the field and there'll be, out of 20 guys, there'll be 10 of them have had some kind of arm surgery already. It's amazing to me how many arm surgeries there are.
Talking with Doug Henry, of course, former relief pitcher with the Brewers, 82 saves in his career, and he's on because he's part of the Joe Randa team. I said, Joe, who do you want me to get on? Well, I wanted to get Doug Henry on because Doug's at the table, and I didn't know it was Doug Henry. We're at Magoo's on the Mound, and again, it's all brought to you by Surfside, all kinds of free stuff. Surfside is made with real vodka and real brewed tea. There's one other reason I wanted to get you on, Doug. I hope you can handle this. You were on four playoff teams. They went 0-3, 1-3, 1-3, and 1-3. So no one would understand what happens to a team losing in the playoffs. And what would you tell the Brewers that they need to do, or what happens to a team when they get behind in the playoffs, because you experienced it four straight times, or maybe it's just one team is better than the other and all this other stuff is crap? Take it away,
no.
Doug Henry.
So when I was with the Royals, I mean, playing-wise, we just got beat. We got in there. We pitched well in the playoffs for 4 years, but the offense just didn't show up. The other team's pitching just kind of shut us down. So that happens. That's baseball. That's the way it goes. When I was with the Royals, we had pitching. We had a good bullpen. And we had an offense that just never quit, which this team here with the Brewers – kind of reminds me of that team there.
Wow.
It was, you just never know when they're going to score runs. You just know it's going to happen. And once it starts, it doesn't stop. I mean, we were down by, I want to say, five or six runs to the Astros. And out of nowhere in the eighth inning, we scored a bunch of runs. They made an error, and we just took advantage of it. And we just kept going. And that's what
now,
that
was that
team
with the
Kansas
Giants?
City.
What team was that? Oh.
No, that was Kansas City Royals when we won it in 15.
It was
amazing to watch that team just keep going and going and going. And
so you're never worried when you're behind, rather regular season or playoffs. It's like, fine, we're going to get back into the game. Is that with that kind of an offense?
That's what I'm getting at, because that's how this team reacts. That's this team here.
Yep.
It's funny listening to, you know, the news and listening to the radio once in a while. They just, you never know when it's going to happen. But when it gets going, all of a sudden everybody's believing, oh, here we go. And once you get that feeling, it just keeps going. And it's fun to watch. I mean, like I said, the fans are having fun watching it. And that's what we did in Kansas City when we won it there.
Talking with Doug Henry. All right, my last one here, because I'm imagining if I'm the manager or on the other team like the Cubs. First game, okay. Our first guy hits a home run. First batter, I'm thinking, yeah. And they come back, and the Brewers come back and score fine. It's just the second game, we get a three-run homer in the first inning. We get the first two outs at the bottom of the first, and they end up hitting a three-run homer. I turn to the guy and go, we might as well just quit now. I mean, everything is going their way. I mean, they're doing it, but this some teams just get hot. This is not possible. What did we do to deserve this? Not to be tied 3-3, but to tie it in the first inning right away.
Yeah.
It's like you did nothing. We scored three in the top of the first, and by the time we bat in the top of the second, it means nothing.
When that happened the other night.
Baseball people think that way or any – I mean, yeah, I think this – yeah, if we can, I don't know what has to happen, but something has to happen because everything is going their way, some of which is their credit. But the degree to it and how it's done, come on, man, take it away.
When that happened the other night, I was sitting there watching it, and I just laughed. And it brought me back to what I was talking about earlier with Kansas City. I was in the bullpen, you know, I was the bullpen coach for that team out there. And every night, something like that happened. It didn't matter. Just somehow, all we needed was a little spark. And as soon as they hit that home run, I think every person in the stadium knew, we're going to win this game.
Yeah, this and game's over. This game is over. Wait, we just tied. No, it's over. We're curious on how they're going to do it again this time.
Yep.
That's the way it was in Kansas City, huh? Wow.
And it's exactly the way it was in Kansas City. I would be out in the bullpen with my clipboard getting ready to, you know, get the next pitcher going. And we just start getting hits. We'd be down by two or three, and as soon as we got one or two hits, here we go. And I honestly just start laughing when it happened because it's like, you know it's going to happen. Just like you said happened the other night. As soon as as soon as the Brewers hit that three-run home run to tie it up, you know they're going to win the game, just a matter of when. And that's.
But when you're on the other team, I don't know if you're on this, you go like, oh, no, here we go again. This is just wrong. Not that anybody's feeling that right now.
What you just said is here we go again. They know what the Brewers have done.
I mean, and you can't. How do you stop it? I guess you just have to play better.
Yeah, you just got to play better. That's the bottom line. But right now it's going to be tough to stop them. They've got so much momentum going, and it's, you know, and you watch the camaraderie on the sidelines. This is a good team. I started out in this interview. Eddie Guidardo told me this is one of the best teams he's seen in a long time.
And all right, you're done. You got to leave with that. Yep, okay. That's what we want. Last words from Doug Henry. You can't do better than that. We'll talk again. And, again, I know you live in the area, so I look forward to crossing paths. And now I know you are not only just Doug, but Doug Henry. Thanks.
All right, Homer. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Magoo's on the mountain. That's where I am. And it's all because of Surfside. And, again, they have samples and passing out stuff, real vodka, real brewed tea, only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, 0 bubbles, easy to sip. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. And they have it at American Family Field all season long, so grab one at the next playoff game. Again, at Magoo's on the Mound, and they have the watch party starting at 4:08, and they got all kinds of free stuff from Surfside, so come by. Joe Rand is still to come, and Rain Man. Pebble, should we do Rain Man next, or what's your thought? Do a quick segment?
Quick segment, yeah.
All right, we'll come back, do a quick segment, then Rain Man, then Joe Randa, then the game. Next.